continue tonight with the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and we're looking at verses 1 to 3. Let's read that as we start. Book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. The poet, the English poet Wordsworth, had the phrase, "The boy is father to the man." And what he was pointed out is that what a boy will be, what a man will be one day, the boy is right now. What the boy is right now, he will be one day as a man. You that are boys, you are the man you will be. You have the strengths and the weaknesses. You have the fears. You have the challenges. You have the struggles that you'll have as a man. You're learning how to cope with what you are and how you can be the man God wants you to be, but you're not the same as your dad. You're not the same as any other man. You're a man in miniature growing. And that's the sense of Wordsworth's statement. Of course, it would be true about girls as well. The girl will be the woman she'll become. She has those qualities within her now which will develop into the kind of person that she will ultimately be. And the boy is father to the man. It's why Paul speaks to you, children, and I'm addressing things to children. We don't have so many children in our midst, but we're speaking as God speaks to children in this passage. And he speaks to you as responsible. And he challenges you concerning the way you live. You're challenged by God. He is concerned for the choices you make and the kind of life you live. You will be the kind of person that you are right now, though you will learn new ways to express your adulthood so you don't look so much like a child. And God challenges you to respect authority, to have respect for God, and he promises reward. So those are the three things in this passage we want to look at: respect for authority, respect for God, reward. And if you're a Christian child, you really want to make the choices that will bring God's blessing into your lives. Let me read verses 1 to 3 again, and then we'll pray. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Let's pray. Our great God, we thank you that you speak to all of us. In this particular section of your word, you're speaking to us in particular groups. We've heard your words to wives. We've heard your words to husbands, and we're hearing your words to children. Lord, help us, we pray. Grant us grace to understand what you have to say for us. Lord, help us and bless us by your Holy Spirit in this hour, we pray. We ask your blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Respect for authority. A very big problem with facing the whole issue that we're thinking about is what the devil has done to twist and to destroy the meaning of the word obey. The devil must obey God, but it is never willingly. It is never surrendering his will to God. He never surrenders his will to anyone. And the only reason he obeys is because he has to, because God is stronger than he has. And he would like to invest that word with that concept. And he succeeded remarkably. People hear the word obey and they respond as if some power is wanting to put me under its thumb and I'm called to knuckle under. And that's the devil's interpretation of the word obey. God never calls us to obey in that way. It's like the devil's influence on the word submit. Submit is given as something dreadful. Submit is having to bow your will and give up what you want in order for somebody else to prevail. And that's not what God means by submit at all. God is talking about a willing surrender of your will for a wider good. That's what obedience is. It's surrendering your will to a higher good. That's what obedience is intended to be. And submission is intended to be that. It's not that you must knuckle under. And that's the dreadful thing, because I think that's basically what the devil has put in the minds of people with regard to the word obey and the word submit. It's knuckle under. And we need to remember that Jesus obeyed his Father from the heart, surrendering his will to God's will. Not my will, but yours be done. But it was not a knuckling under to God's power. And Jesus submitted his life to God, but it was never a knuckling under. It was catching the vision for the purposes and being willing to deny himself in order for God's will to be done. And that really is what God calls us to do when he calls us to obedience. The devil would love to destroy the word, and it has loved to destroy the word obey, and to destroy the word submit, and to take it out of the context of anything that Jesus would have done, even though Jesus was the supreme example of one who obeyed God. I do always the things who please my Father. He's the example of the one who had submitted to God even unto death. Though he deserved honor and glory and acknowledgement, he submitted to God to the lowest place and submitted even to death. But it never was a knuckling under to God. It was a catching a vision for what God had for his life and willing to deny himself in order to achieve what God had for him. And so we have Jesus never knuckling under, but submitting and embracing a will higher than his own at that point. It's a heart that denies itself for anyone or anything. A heart that denies itself for anyone or anything is totally foreign to what the enemy has in mind, but it's exactly what God calls us to do. He's looking for a willingness to sacrifice your own desires for the good of someone else, a kind of obedience that Jesus gave to the Father, a kind of submission that brought honor to his name. And when you look up the word obey in the scriptures, or in the dictionary even, when you look up the word obey, you find again and again the idea, the word comply, is put in to try to describe what it means. A complying. And that really is what it is when God says obey. It's complying with what's going on. Complying with the authority over you. And God calls us to do that. And he calls us to comply, to respect authority. Your whole life you will clash with authority. Of course, here is speaking to children. It's to all of us. Because your whole life you will clash with authorities. Teachers, bosses, organizations, and government. Always they are run by people on a scale higher than you are. And always there will be a question of respect. If you don't learn to respect authority, you'll be fighting your whole life. You'll develop year after year a sense of your own wisdom and everyone else's stupidity, and you'll fuss and fret like a big baby your whole life. God did not intend for you to be in charge. He had that job for someone else. He can put you there if he wants to, but then you will have other people in charge over you there. For it's a long line that God has established. And a fretting and a fighting authority will mark your whole life and ruin it. And so God says to children, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So you start by learning to obey your parents, and God encourages you with the blessings that will come from doing his will. That's the first thought that we have in mind, that you are right now, as a child, what you will be. There's a growth needed, there's an expanding, but the fears, the needs, the struggles, the desires, all of them are woven in you, and those are things you're struggling with even now as a child. And you're growing to that point. And in the midst of it all, you're becoming the man that God will have you to be. And so for the girls, you're struggling with the things now that you'll struggle with then, and you're growing into the person that God will have you to be. And God calls us to respect for God. Any kids listening to this can be very thankful that they don't have parents that will tell them to lie and to steal. There are parents who tell their kids to lie and to steal. Sometimes a kid does have the struggle of being encouraged to do something that's wrong. When I worked for a grocery store in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, there was a time when, it happened about twice a year, people would say the gypsies are here. And there are people that have taught their children to run in throughout the store and steal everything they can and get out. And we'd see it happen. And kids were taught, they were ready, it was a game. And their parents got them, get in and get everything you can and get out. And we were amazed. But I realized there's parents that are teaching their children that that's what they should do. That's survival. And I was always amazed. But, you know, it's a matter of parents teaching their children to disobey. There are parents who, when there's a phone call and dad says, tell them I'm not here. Well, kids have to face that. I don't think there's many kids that have their parents get them as a gang to rob a grocery store as a group. That doesn't happen very often. But it may be that they encourage them to do a little robbing. And it could be that parents will tell their kids, tell them I'm not here. You know, that's a terrible problem and grief for a Christian child. I suppose it doesn't matter to a Christian that the child is not a Christian. They don't worry too much about that. But it's a dreadful thing for a parent to tell the child to disobey. It's dreadful because the Bible says, obey your parents in the Lord. And if a child knows that God has spoken on certain things and they're being told to do otherwise, well, it's a terrible burden for a Christian child. And may the Lord deliver us from ever being in such a situation. And I trust the kids that are here are not going to face that situation. Praise God. You're not going to be told by your parents to do something that's against the law of God. Because it's a terrible problem when you can't do it. And you have to face the consequences. You may have kids at school that are in even at a Christian school, you can have messed up families. And you can have kids that might face that problem. Be thankful that you're not going to be called to do something that's contrary to the word of God. No, God says, be obedient, obey your parents in the Lord. And he means, obviously, with that realization that you're going to be directed to things that are not contrary to God's word. It's possible that the Christian child's conscience being bothered by something will be the spring that will cause the parent to wonder whether they're right. And maybe a Christian child could be a means of their parent coming to Christ because they can't do what is wrong. And they grieve at the thought of being commanded to. It might be that'll be the spark in the heart of the non-Christian parent to bring them to recognize themselves and their need for God. If their conscience doesn't bother them about things, your conscience may make them ashamed. And you can save them from mistakes that will hurt their lives. But probably that will not fall upon you personally, though maybe to some of your friends at school. Obey them in the Lord because it is right. It is right to do right. It is right to obey your parents. God says this is the right thing for children to do. Now remember, the obedience is a submission of your own will for the larger good. A recognition that you are not the one that calls the shots and you are willing to deny yourself, even as Jesus did. A Christian child can think of this, denying themselves even as Jesus denied himself for them. And a Christian child can say, Jesus forgave my sin. Jesus went to the cross and gave up his own life that I might live, and I'm going to be stubborn and I'm going to demand my way and I'm going to be fussing that I get what I want. A Christian child can begin to see that that's wrong. And other children need to see that as a testimony that brings them to see. You obey obey them in the Lord because it's right. Obeying authority is right. Refusing to obey authority is rebellion against God. Question comes when we look at that to dads. Fathers have to ask, how do I respond to my boss? How do I respond to the authorities over me? If my kid responded to me the way I'm responding to the authorities over me, would I put up with it? That's where a Christian parent has to realize, wait a minute, what am I doing? The Bible talks about submission to authority, and it's not just kids must submit to their parents. All the way through life, you have to submit to the authorities over you. And if the child is learning, part of his learning is an observation of the example of the parent, how is my example of the way I respond to authority teaching my child? And if they responded to me, they had the remarks that come out of my mouth criticizing the authorities over me. If I overheard my kid remarking about me that way, what would I think? Well, the child is father to the man. And we see the response of the father, and we're challenged. What about my life? What about my response to authority? To what degree am I willing to deny myself for a greater good? To what degree am I willing to be like Christ in regard to my response to authority? Well, these things come to mind as we think about the fact that the child is picking up from us what he sees in us. The child's father to the man. Teach a kid to react right by reacting right yourself. We can say that. We need to do that. Some people speak of the Ten Commandments as though there were four commandments on the first table and six commandments on the second table. And they look at children obey your or honor your father and your mother as if that's primarily a duty toward other people. But I'm convinced it's not the case. I'm convinced there are five commandments on both. And the one, children are honor your father and your mother, is a response to God and the authority that God has put over you. So we could discuss whether there are four on the first table or five on both tables. I would just take the side of those who say the commandment, honor your father and mother, is a command to God. And it's reflected in the way you respond to the authorities that he has put over you. I'm convinced that that's the perspective God has with regard to the commandment, honor your father and mother. Well, he goes on to speak of reward. And he talks about long life and smooth sailing. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Long life and smooth sailing. Is that an absolute promise? Well, of course not. All the promises of God are contingent upon what is best for us and most for his glory. We do ask for God to bless us, but only insofar as that blessing will be best for us and most for his glory. So there's always a contingency with regard to God's promise. This seems to be so absolute. Well, it's not absolute in a perfect sense, in that God may purpose for you difficulties that you don't anticipate and struggles that are unusual and difficult. And life may not always be smooth. And it may not always be true that it goes well with you from a human standpoint and that you enjoy long life on the earth. Actually, every child doesn't live long life. Sometimes a person dies young. Sometimes a kid who obeyed his parents dies young. It's not that it's an absolute promise that you'll live a long life. But it is a reassurance that you will not face the hassles in life that people ordinarily face. You won't face the stresses and difficulties that many work with their whole lives. You won't face the stirring inside of enmity and animosity and the things that eat up a person's soul and wreck his peace. You won't have that. The kind of embracing the authority God's put over you will deliver you from a lot of the things that give people ulcers and that mess up their whole lives and make them make wrong decisions and make them shorten their life by the stress they're living. There's a sense in which this kind of thing does relieve a lot of stress in life and probably contributes to things, to long life probably, but certainly to the fact that things go well with you. And often God blesses such people with a long life, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. pretty much, usually, often it works out that this is exactly the experience of the person that's caught the vision to deny themselves, to take up their cross and follow Jesus. True, there are struggles, difficulties, hassles, and all kinds of problems, the things we looked at this morning from Peter. You see that life will not be smooth sailing always. But on the whole, those that have honored, have respected authority, have lived lives with much less stress than the people who fight authority constantly, and in fact enjoy good things, long life. God often blesses them with long life. Some promises of God give way to greater promises. As God individually blesses and molds those that he specially loves, there are special dealings that God makes that cause us to maybe not have what seems to be described here. But what we have by the mercy of God is better than this. God can give somebody, even through struggles and difficulties, something better than things going well and long life. Obey God, trust him for what is truly the best thing. Things basically we've looked at, and I'd have us think about, take with us to meditate on, the fact that God is calling us to respect authority. We have a struggle respecting authority because of the work the enemy has done to make us feel that the idea of obedience is somehow a bad thing. We have the devil's view of obedience is knuckling under some power over me. God never intends it to be that. God is challenging me to express a heart of submission to a higher good than I personally see for myself, not living for myself. Didn't Jesus say to all of us, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me? And so often the struggle and the animosity and the grief with authority is an unwillingness to deny myself. Well, God calls me, deny myself. God calls me. God knows what I'm up against. Here's some things I've got. 8 things to mention that might be an encouragement to bring together what we've looked at. Number one, God knows what you're up against. When he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, he knows what you're up against. And as a Christian, you can come to God and say, I see your command, O Lord. You see the struggles that I face. You see, O Lord, the particular challenge that I face in my seeking to obey you in this way. Will you help me? See, a child at such a time as this can look at that and say, God understands the struggle. Jesus understood the struggle. Jesus' life was not without the struggle that we're talking about. Now, obviously, his parents were awfully good parents. Obviously, his parents were good, but they were not perfect. And there's times that he'd be misunderstood, and there's times that he'd have to struggle with difficulties trying to deal with his parents. A perfect son of God dealing with imperfect parents. So you're dealing with that. You could look at yourself in such a struggle and say, here I am, a perfect son of God dealing with difficult parents. Well, you can't even say that, can you, without realizing I am not a perfect son of God. I'm not a perfect son of these parents. And God bringing that to heart can help you. God knows what you're up against, and God can help you. Jesus faced what you're facing. Jesus went through all this. I remember asking probably every year when I had 7th and 8th grade, I asked, and usually it surprised them, do you think Jesus ever got less than 100 on a test? And of course the immediate response is, well, no, of course he always got 100, he was perfect. Well, yes, under normal circumstances, and if the tests were right and fair and a good test, and if the teacher did it properly, yes, he'd always get 100. But you know, there's sometimes the teacher hadn't covered them, probably such sometimes the teacher hadn't covered the material very well. And he may not have done perfectly. In character and in attitude, he was perfect. But is it possible the failures of the system brought him to do less than 100%? He who would like always to get 100%, maybe he didn't always get it. It never was because of his attitude, and it never was because of his failure and his unwillingness to do his homework. But teachers are sinners, and they fall short. And at times they demand something they ought not to have demanded. I know there are times when I had to have a question on a test and 30% of the kids miss it. And some of the best students miss it. Well, you know what I've realized I need to do? Reevaluate that question. Don't regard that question as absolute. Maybe I made a mistake with the question. And if Sally Jones didn't get it right, there must be something wrong with the question. And the teacher can feel that with the class. Well, if these students didn't get it right, there was something wrong with the question. Well, Jesus faced circumstances where the teacher didn't get it right. And I know it happened because he was tempted in all points like as you are. And he went through the things that you struggle with. Jesus faced what you're facing. Great help when you know that God tells you to obey your parents in the Lord. Jesus knows what you're facing. And Jesus' conflict with authority his whole life. He was always right, but he suffered. He was always standing for what was right. He was always obeying God, but he suffered. So when you suffer for seeking to obey authority, Jesus understands. He faced what you're facing. And Jesus will forgive your attitudes and your wrong responses. That's a wonderful thing. When you respond wrongly and your attitude is bad, Jesus can forgive that. Jesus will help you to see where you were wrong. Be willing to accept that and then try to do better. So Jesus is wonderfully helpful to the person who has caught the vision. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And when you see your own failure and your own shortcoming, you remember that Jesus understands, and Jesus lived the life that I didn't live and died on the cross to forgive me of my sins. Jesus will help me. He'll help me when the going gets tough. Throughout Jesus' life, it got very tough resisting the authorities that were over him. I mean, trying to comply with the authorities trying to give him pressure. The authorities unjustly putting pressure upon him was not easy. It was difficult for him to face that. But he'll help you when the going gets tough. He'll also reward you for trying to do what he's teaching you to do. He is remarkably appreciative of an attempt to do well. That's always the encouragement for us our whole lives. He somehow gives us credit for trying to do well, or sometimes for wanting to do well even though we didn't. It's amazing what God sees in our hearts and the degree to which Jesus understands what we're struggling with, and Jesus is there to help us and forgive us and to be with us. Could say to a child, especially the one that's struggling with the child, with a parent that is themselves struggling, determined to be a better parent than you had. Determined to be a better parent than you had. I know as a parent, I want my children to be a better parent than I was. And children can say, I'm not going to be like that when I grow up. You know, the tendency for a child is to pick up the sins of his parent and do them themselves. Be a better parent than you had is the challenge that's involved in this passage. Determined to be a better parent than you had. The boy is a father to the man. What you are right now, what a child is right now, is the person, the adult they'll be. It just takes growth and development, but the struggles, the weaknesses, the fears, the uncertainties, the kind of ways of dealing with problems, they're all there. Parents are trying to recognize that and help the person to cope with that and to learn how to be strong, how to be a man. You know, we live in the midst of a society that has some adults that behave like big babies. They've never learned these things. But by God's grace, we can learn these things and we can honor God. We need to remember that the boy is father to the man. And we remember that God says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Helps a kid to see that. A kid who's struggling with all the problems of being a kid. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How would you like your kid to teach you if you were father? Would you like to have him doing what you're doing right now? God can bring those things to a person's mind and they can stop and say, what am I doing? Ought I to be doing this? And bring a kid to repentance when he's struggling with respecting mom and dad. Well, God can help in all those things, and the Word of God can encourage the Christian child. Now, as far as a child that's not a Christian, well, you're not going to do this. You're not going to respect your father and mother as you should. You're not going to respect authority. You're going to find your way to get around authority. You're going to try to play the angles. You're going to try to win at the game. You're going to work to get your own way, no matter what. And you're going to face one hassle after another, one difficulty after another, one unhappiness after another, one broken relationship after another. The best way for a child is to learn to respect authority when they're little. And that's what God calls them to do. God intends children to honor their father and mother. He's put that there, locked in the midst of the Decalogue, the last one on the first table. Honor your father and mother. And he means that not to cause you to have to knuckle under, not to put pressure on you to crush you, give you an opportunity to surrender your will for a higher good. And happiness comes from that. And you adults know, the degree to which I hold on to my will in spite of everything and determined to have my way, to that degree I bring problems upon myself and everyone around me. And all of us need to learn to, well, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Respecting your parents, obeying your parents, involves denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus. And Jesus will help you to do that. May God help all of us in these things. May Jesus Christ be praised. Let's pray. Our great God, we thank you for guiding us. And it's never in a way to crush us or to demean us or to embarrass us. That you're dealing with us is for our good. That you've given directives for us, not to hurt us, but to help us. Pray you'll help us all to learn to submit to authority, to recognize the importance of how we respond to the authorities over us and what we teach our children. And Lord, we pray that children will grow up to be better parents than we were. Help us to work together, we pray. Help us to remember the fact that the child is father to the adult, mother to the adult. They have right now the struggles they'll have their whole lives in many ways. And we can help them learn how to look for God, look to God for help. Lord, grant us grace to see that in one another and to appreciate that in our children. And help us to be an example that we may submit to authority in a way that will help them to do so too. Lord, help us by your Holy Spirit, we pray. We thank you for the challenge of your word. And we pray that we will embrace that challenge and find help from God to fulfill it to the glory of Jesus. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.